You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Maria McKinley.
And I'm Doug Storm. This is the Daily Local News for Monday, February 27th, 2017.
They did not have all the information that they needed to make an informed decision. We as a community have not felt that the school board is actually receptive to our position on this issue.
A local group has just released a 20-page report pointing to issues with the proposed bus contract at the Monroe County Community School Corporation. More on that later in the show.
Also coming up in the next half hour, we hear from a volunteer with the Banneker Community Center. That's on Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community. But first, these local headlines.
An Owen County judge has accepted a plea agreement in the case of Shaylin Ammerman's murder. The 15-month-old girl was abducted from her home and murdered last March. The defendant in the case, Kyle Parker, was arrested soon after and directed authorities to the location of the body. Parker was initially charged with a litany of offenses, including murder, kidnapping, rape, and child molestation. Amid calls from the public to seek the death penalty, Prosecutor Don Vandermore sought life in prison without parole for Parker. However, Parker's attorney argued there were several problems with the prosecutor's case. No DNA evidence was presented, and the defense provided testimony suggesting a member of Shaylin's family may have been responsible. Parker pled guilty to charges of kidnapping and murder, but other charges, including rape and child molestation, have been dismissed. The agreement includes a sentence of 60 years. The Herald Times reported that news of the plea agreement set off a small protest outside the Owen County Courthouse. Previously, many members of the community wrote letters and signed petitions asking the judge to reject any agreement that included possibility of parole. With a 60-year sentence, Parker may be out of jail in 45 years with good behavior. The family of Shaylin Ammerman asked the judge to accept the deal. The plea agreement came 11 months after Shaylin's death.
A former assistant director of IU's Office of Student Ethics has been sentenced for possession of child pornography, a level 6 felony. John Revere was sentenced to 2.5 years, the maximum for that charge, but 1 year was suspended. The sentence also includes 1.5 years of probation, and he's eligible to serve the sentence under house arrest. Police arrested Revere in May of 2015 after a search warrant revealed images of child pornography in the hard drive of his IU-issued laptop. The search originated from a tip from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which reported an image may have been downloaded to his IP address. He was promptly fired by the university following that discovery.
The Indiana House of Representatives has approved a gun bill allowing people with civil protective orders to carry a handgun without a permit for 60 days. The News and Tribune newspaper reports that author Representative Sean Eberhardt of Shelbyville created the bill with the stated aim of giving victims of domestic violence an additional source of protection. Recipients of protective orders would need to apply for licenses in order to carry handguns beyond the 60-day grace period. House Bill 1071 passed with a 72-26 vote on Tuesday and is on the way to the Senate. In other gun legislation news, a bill that would have allowed citizens to carry a handgun without a license seems to have died in committee. Representative Jim Lucas of Seymour proposed House Bill 1159, which was referred to the Public Policy Committee for further analysis. The committee has yet to hold a vote on the bill, which was criticized by some Indiana law enforcement officials.
The I-69 Development Partners team is announcing new lane closures on both north and southbound lanes on State Road 45 2nd Street near the State Road 37 interchange. Single lane traffic in both directions will begin tomorrow to remove the existing median and remain in effect until temporary pavement is complete. Drivers are encouraged to use alternative routes to minimize delays.
The Monroe County Community School Corporation will not be changing their gender-neutral bathroom policy after President Trump rescinded Obama's guidelines protecting transgender students last week. Andrew Clampett is a spokesperson for the school corporation.
We kind of look at this in a little bit different way, I think, than a lot of other school corporations and communities. We're already such a rich, diverse community. As of this point, nothing's changing. Those restrooms are still available in the ways that they always have been. So we're just kind of status quo.
Both Bloomington High School South and North have gender-neutral bathrooms available for students. Clampett says the current bathroom policy for Monroe County schools would only be reviewed or changed if a new law was passed. Clampett says the school corporation will continue to maintain an open dialogue with students and their families, and any specific questions about the use of gender-neutral bathrooms can be sent to the principals of those schools.
Our students and our families is kind of where we're, who we support and where our attention is drawn to. So if there are concerns amongst our students or families, that's where our attention is as well.
The Trump administration rescinded federal guidelines on protection for transgender students and has, at least for now, returned the decision to the individual states and school corporations. The federal guidelines were put in place during President Obama's administration and were an expansion of federal law Title IX, which prevents discrimination based on sex. We'll hear more news about MCCSC later in the show.
The Indiana University Alumni Association will launch a fundraising campaign tomorrow at the Skyline Club in Indianapolis. The first ever 10X campaign aims to increase the level of alumni engagement to benefit Latino students at IU. Their goal is to raise awareness for student scholarships. Students who have received scholarships will speak at the reception about their experiences. The kickoff event invites attendees to stay after the reception for a viewing party of the IU versus Purdue basketball game, which will include a cash bar and appetizers. After the initial event kickoff, the 10X campaign will schedule more receptions around Indiana to encourage widespread participation in the campaign movement. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Maria McKinley.
And I'm Doug Storm. The school board at the Monroe County Community School Corporation is scheduled to vote tomorrow night on a contract that would affect the jobs of dozens of bus drivers. The proposed agreement has drawn public criticism from some local residents, including some of the drivers. Late last week, the Bloomington Solidarity Network released a report describing how the contract could produce problems for local workers and for school children. WFHB News Director Joe Crawford spoke with two authors of the report for today's WFHB Community Report.
Reporting for WFHB, I'm Joe Crawford, and I'm joined in the studio today by William Vandendries and Stephen Dora. They are both members of the Bloomington Solidarity Network. It's a group of volunteers with a mission to fight for the rights and against the abuse of tenants and workers. They've put together an extensive report. It's about 20 pages on their issues with a plan to hire a new bus contractor. That's for the Monroe County Community School Corporation. For somebody who doesn't know anything about this project, I'll just start with some basic information. The Monroe County Community School Corporation has for years used what are known as owner-operator bus routes. Basically, some of their bus routes are driven by individuals who own their own buses, carry their own insurance, et cetera, et cetera. So a contract that the school board is scheduled to vote on tomorrow night at their meeting would affect the drivers of 42 of those routes, I believe. The school district would no longer hire these particular owner-operator drivers. Instead, the board is looking to hire a Michigan-based company called Auxilio Services to manage these routes. Auxilio would be responsible for hiring drivers, making sure that the buses are properly insured, inspected, maintained, that sort of thing. School officials have said that this would help solve a long-standing problem where they basically can't find enough drivers. They're struggling to get kids picked up and dropped off on time. So they say this simplifies things. William, Stephen, you've done some extensive research into this. You've talked with a number of the folks who currently are driving buses on these routes. What would you say is the primary concern? Why did the Solidarity Network get involved with this?
So many of these bus drivers, they have been working in Monroe County as bus drivers for up to 30 or 40 years. For many, it's their primary source of income, and with how Auxilio operates and has operated in other districts, it's common practice for them to cut both wages, hours, and benefits, and that's looking to be the case in Bloomington as well. This is particularly concerning to us looking at the context of Bloomington, in that it is now the most expensive city to live in Indiana. Luxury apartments continue to be built all over Bloomington, which translate to increased property values, which will increase property taxes and rent for many residents. So living expenses in Bloomington continue to go up, where workers, as we see within the Auxilio contracts, are slated to be paid less and less. So what we're primarily concerned about is the ability for workers in Bloomington to find a livable wage.
And you say that you're expecting pay to decrease. Can you be any more specific about that?
So as far as we understand it, the owner-operators have the ability to, they set the route bids when they put in their contracts, which they've done for decades, and they will take home that daily contracted rate, and then they are responsible for maintenance and insurance.
How much money are we talking about? What's an average rate?
I think those range between maybe about $250 to $350 per day. And so to get kind of a good consistent idea of this, in the report, we reference what the drivers will pay if they need to find a substitute for a day. And they pay $100 a day for a substitute driver. And so we took that as a good indication of what they consider an appropriate rate. And so if we look at what Auxilio has been reportedly paying, it's not only going to be significantly less than that, but it's also going to be less than what the MCCSC drivers make, because Auxilio is reportedly going to offer fewer hours per day. So whereas the contract drivers may take $100 a day, and then on top of that, they have costs for maintenance and insurance, MCCSC drivers take home about $75 a day, but they have their benefits through the school corporation. Auxilio drivers are slated to take home somewhere around $70 a day with much fewer benefits.
The school district is saying that they've had consistent trouble with recruiting enough drivers, having enough drivers doing routes, which means that school children may be not getting to school on time, or they're getting dropped off late into the day after school. What about that statement that they've made, that this is a way to simplify things, to streamline the situation, and to eliminate what's been a longstanding issue for the school district?
It's certainly been a longstanding issue, and it used to be much worse. Over time, they've been able to fill most of those positions by training maintenance workers and having them operate some of the bus routes. One of the issues that we take with how the school district is representing this is one thing that they're claiming is that there are students who aren't going home until 6 p.m., and that's due to the lack of drivers. When we actually have gone out and researched this issue, it's not that, students are getting out at 3 p.m. and are waiting at the school for 3 hours to get home, but that after-school programs such as College Mentors release at 5:45, and those drivers get those students home on time at 6 p.m. But that's just kind of one example of how the school district has been misrepresenting the issue in order to further push their case for removing the operator-owner drivers and getting the Auxilio contract signed.
So let's say that you're a parent of a child who's riding the bus regularly. Why would you be concerned about this?
I would be concerned in looking at how Exilio has operated in other districts. Two places that we looked at, one in Dundee, Michigan, and the other in Galesburg, Augusta. In Galesburg, there was a case where Exilio's lax hiring standards led to one of their workers assaulting a 7-year-old child. There was another issue in which when the Exilio contract started their period during the first week working at Galesburg Augusta, they were unable to provide transportation services to special needs children.
The transportation director stated to the school board that the company has an impeccable inspection record and backed it up by saying that he observed 100% passing rate awards mounted at the company's Michigan office. And so we decided to take a look into this, and we researched Auxilio's inspection history using public documents, which are posted online through the Michigan State Police Department. And so when we did this, we found that the information that's available shows that they actually rarely passed all of their buses in a district on their first attempt. And when we looked into all of the school districts in which we know they operate, we calculated that their passing rate over the past 2 years is actually about 68.9% in the districts that we looked into. We want the school board to read this report and to take away the understanding that they did not have all the information that they needed to make an informed decision, and that we as a community have not felt that the school board is actually receptive to our publicly stated position on this issue.
I mean, what we would like the community to take away from this is that this issue shouldn't be viewed in a vacuum. Similar processes are going on with Bloomington workers across our entire city. And with the rising cost of housing, really the only way in which this problem is going to be solved is if workers are able to come together and demand what they need to live.
I've been speaking with William Vandendries and Stephen Dora. They are both members of the Bloomington Solidarity Network. They have put together an extensive report about the issues with a proposed contract between MCCSC and Auxilio Services, which is based in Lansing, Michigan. Thanks to both of you for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The full report from the Bloomington Solidarity Network can be found on Facebook on a page titled Auxilio Action Bloomington. The MCCSC school board meeting is tomorrow night at 6 p.m.
Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service, now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service is available at smithvillesecurity.com.
Now it's time for Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community.
Welcome to Activate, featuring tales of inspiration from local citizens who stand up for what they believe in and encouraging you to find your cause, live your passion, make a difference. Volunteer.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Perry, and I volunteer with the Banneker Community Center. I've been a preschool teacher in the past. I've also worked as an elementary school librarian, so that's my training. I have a master's degree in library science with a specialization in school libraries, so that's my passion and my focus. It's always been working with kids, and particularly kids in books and literacy kinds of activities. I was looking for some place where I could use my skills and find a home for the kinds of things that I like to do. And the Banneker Center has been kind enough to sort of open up to me and let me come in and do work with children, and specifically library kinds of work with children. So I am always thrilled to come in and do story times, and I help run the small library that we have here. And I really like to interact with families, and particularly to help them with early literacy kinds of skills that they're trying to help their children get ready for reading and get ready for school, and to do sorts of preschool activities that will enforce that. I feel like I've learned a lot in the last couple of years because since I was focused primarily on elementary school and working within the educational framework of an elementary school, I didn't do a lot of the public librarian sorts of tasks. So I didn't do story time for young children. I didn't do a lot of flannel boards or things that I've started to do now. So I have a really fun time learning new skills within my area that I didn't ever have a chance to do in a school setting. So that's been really entertaining for me. I can sort of branch out and look for new and interesting things that I've never had a chance to do before. So it is very freeing that way. I think I've gotten sort of a little following going here with some preschool families, which is really nice to see people who come back week after week with their kids. And that really makes me feel good that they appreciate what I'm doing and are interested in what I'm doing. And I love to just see the kids as they grow up, the skills that they acquire and the different things that they learn how to do. It's really fun to watch them grow and change, and particularly when it comes to the reading aspect. In the summer camp, for example, we have kids that are coming back every summer for a camp, and to see them go from maybe not being that interested or having a lot of confidence in their reading abilities, and that's changing a little bit over time, and that's always very interesting and very nice to see when they can grow that way. You're really working with parents to try to help them be more confident and be more ready to go home and help their kids with things. And, you know, just teaching someone that it doesn't have to be flashcards and worksheets, that every time we sing a song or do a rhyme with the kids, that they're learning something from that. And I think that's something that we all do, but we don't always know what's behind it. And so that's really cool for me to be able to feel like maybe I'm helping them learn that everything you do with your kid is a learning experience. And I really want to do what I feel like I'm good at and what I have to share with people, and that's library skills and working with kids in particular. So that's what I love to do. That's what keeps me going. Thanks for listening. I'm Jennifer Perry with the Banneker Community Center.
You may visit the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network website to see a full organization profile at bloomington.in.gov/volunteer. Now here's a rundown of current volunteer opportunities in Bloomington and Monroe County.
For the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Aubrey Kearney with three ways to make Bloomington a great city to be a kid. Volunteers are needed to facilitate the Bloomington Parks and Recreation Banneker Center's monthly youth programs, like the upcoming Carnival and Science of Spring. Volunteers are trained on site. Come enjoy these fun events from a new perspective. Or mentor a student through the Big Brothers Big Sisters School Bigs program. Mentors are matched on site and meet with students weekly. Spending time mentoring a child is rewarding and fun, and it's great for the student too. Or if you have volleyball experience, referee a volleyball game for Girls Inc. These games are easy to work into your schedule and a lot of fun. Help facilitate one of Girls Inc.'s sports programs to instill boldness in Monroe County girls. And that's a look at just some of the ways you can connect to your community through volunteering. For WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Aubrey Kearney.
You've been listening to Activate, a co-production of WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to build an empowered, vibrant, and engaged community. You may visit bloomington.in.gov/volunteer to find and sign up for local volunteer opportunities. All episodes of Activate are available online at wfhb.org/news/activate. For Bloomington Community Radio, I'm Jennifer Brooks. This has been the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Kathy Norton, Carly Van Cleve, Jared Dill, Jessica De La Cruz, and Dominique Jean. Our future was produced by Joe Crawford.
Activate is produced by Jennifer Brooks, along with the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network. Our engineer is Sarah Hetrick. Hey, our engineer is... Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Joe Crawford. For WFHB, I'm Doug Storm.
And I'm Maria McKinley. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast, as well as all other WFHB news programming online at WFHB.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@WFHB.org.
If you use iTunes, you can have this show delivered directly to you. Just go to the iTunes store, search for WFHB Daily Local News, and subscribe to our podcast.